As a young kid, I thought I had seen a lot. You tend to accelerate at least some experiences when you grow up in a military household, and that was my background, as many of you know. Surrounded by incredible technologically advanced machines, and some not so much. We were warned early to always listen to any advice given by anybody in uniform around these big things. They put fences and warning signs all about them. One particular warning sign that I think any kid could understand, regardless of their intellectual ability, was that of a jet engine. Clearly, Mark is a jet engine. Huge fiery exhaust coming out, and someone with jagged lines moving this way. In other words, you better watch out. Don't walk behind these things. Well, moving to Dover, Delaware, for third and fourth grade, I thought, things are fairly straightforward until walking to school my first day. And I'd seen the double tracks and thought, well, this is not tough. This cannot be that significant. And in my own spacey little way, as I walked with my book bag, watching that two-dimensional sign come to life. Flashing lights behind it, the crossing bar coming down, and I was a bit transfixed in the moment watching the bar come down, and the bell started up. I knew enough to jump back a bit, and I wasn't in any real danger of being struck by this huge diesel locomotive, but it got my attention as the ground rumbled, and all these sights and sounds and smells of diesel and coal dust just moved through like an earthquake, a controlled earthquake. It gave me a lot more appreciation to what a sign can convey and what it can't. Because that simple two-dimensional sign didn't seem to have much to do with that massive, earth-moving, thunderous roar of the locomotive which followed it. Every time we begin a new year and delve into John's Gospel, as we often do, I'm struck by the phenomenal work of Anglican theologian C.H. Dodd, who delineated so clearly in the early 20th century the difference between sign and symbol, highlighting especially John's Gospel, that he described as the book of signs, the profound difference between the two. Dodd talks about Jesus using these signs to warn the disciples not to be distracted, and also to hopefully cajole those who don't have belief to go deeper. Works in some cases, doesn't work in others. But Dodd is especially effective in his poetic way of delineating these truths and making the difference quite sharp and powerful for us. And I've never forgotten, as you can see, that other great commentaries have been written. I think of Raymond E. Brown and all the works about John's Gospel that Brown has given, from the birth of the Messiah to the Anchor Bible series, tremendous gifts that help us to go deeper in spiritual life as well. But for those trapped in a sign-seeking mode, you can see their dilemma. And we see it in the lives of the Pharisees and scribes as John presents them. Here you have people who, like at the wedding feast of Cana, can see a sign and be in the midst of the community, yet miss the significance of what's going on. Jesus, hearing his mother's voice, sternly responds, "It's not my hour, it's not my time." Yet he listens deeply, he does the work, and water is transformed into wine. And some marvel, others put one foot in front of the other and move closer into the realm of belief. Others follow Jesus. But the poor Pharisees and scribes, they miss it entirely. It's almost as if their reaction to this event is to fold their arms and to step back and to look at this upstart, to look at what happens in a standoff way. So unfortunate. They miss what significance the signs may portend. They miss what's beyond them. They're not the first ones. We run that risk every day. And we see this happen among us all the time. Signs are meant for us to alert to then take heed, and then to go deeper. Demanding a sign is always a problem in the life of faith. Let's think about it in terms of relationships. He's in front of the mirror. He's got his best sport coat on. The reservations have been made. In his pocket, he has a tiny box, maybe an inch and a half square. He believes this could be the happiest day of his life. So gets to the restaurant. They kiss. They're seated. The first course comes. The salad is consumed. But as the entree comes, he has this moment. Reaches into his pocket and produces the box. The ring box is open. But then, unbeknownst to anyone, reaches into the breast pocket and produces this long document with that suspicious blue backing, that paper that alerts you. Not too good. The document's reviewed. It's shredded right over the main course. Into the souffle, the ring is tossed down. The evening is over. In fact, the relationship is over. The sign of the ring is one thing, very hopeful, but the sign of the prenuptial agreement, not a good way to get started. Not a good way to go deeper. Maybe a good way to stand there and to fold your arms in that standoff position and say, I'm not so sure. I'll be the judge of that. I've got my guard up, my comfort zone up, and let me articulate for you the hurts I've experienced, the hardness of my own heart, the painful road I've been on. Demanding a sign doesn't work well in relationships. Jesus, when often in John's Gospel asks for a sign, he'll say something cryptic like, come and see. Follow me. Watch. Open your heart. Learn. Sign seekers in the Gospels will be sorely disappointed. Yet we know how human it is to seek after signs. We're looking in the strangely, you know, we're also told to watch for fruit, that, you know, by your fruits you will know them. So we look for results, but we can't demand them in the ways that suit us. We have to be open to some spontaneity, some creativity. A third way coming around that we didn't expect. Those serendipitous moments, the joys and the surprises that are a part of every dynamic relationship. We need to be able to be surprised by joy, by whimsy, by wonder. Our analytic skills move us ahead. We've produced engineering and science and great disciplines, great technological wonders. But analytics alone don't speak to the spark, to the mystery of love, to the power of poetry, to the wonders of a flower, a garden, a sunset, a subtle touch. We are more than the sum of our thoughts. The author of John's Gospel knew this. Jesus certainly taught this. And he beckons us to look beyond the two-dimensionality and the shallowness of signs, to get deeper into the symbolic world, to open our lives to the power and the transformation of God's work among us. I think about just these kinds of differentiations every year as we anticipate our annual meeting, as we are able to mark significantly what happened this year as opposed to the years prior. And it's so encouraging to see that in this congregation our growth has risen at a level of 3%, which doesn't sound like much, but in a diocese and within a denomination that faces significant demographic challenges, 3% I'm very thankful for. And the numbers themselves, though cool and analytic, don't necessarily outline the depth of what's happened around here. Think of your own spiritual life. Think of the ways that you intersect with other Christians in this place. I think of our calendar, and when I look at it, I'm rather exhausted, frankly. Something's going on here in a scheduled way every day but Saturday. And often Saturdays are filled with something going on to deepen our community, to prod us deeper into the faith, to move us ahead. Yes, the signs are here. I used to think, in terms of Christian growth, we would be fortunate to have the basic sign of fogging a mirror and that being enough. No, we are more than just vegetatively alive. This organism, it breathes, it shares, it laughs, it loves, it reproduces, it brings others into the fellowship. Our preschool, those families continue to reach out and bring people in those doors that start off as outsiders, and as the gospel tells us, get to rejoice with us as insiders as they find their way, not just into the school community, but also into this parish family. I think of the ways that on Sunday mornings we gather at 9 o'clock for deeper learning. David Riggs guides us through life cycles, and we learn, we test ourselves and our experience, and we bring our little bit of the mosaic to add to the mix that is community, to tell our story, to go not just into two dimensions, but into three, to test, to live, to grow. That's just one class. I think Wednesday nights when we gather for scripture study and fellowship within the Isaiah seminars now and go deeper. Another example. And I'm sure I will miss an example near and dear to you, whether it's choir, singing, as worship, or whether it's witness that you share from these four walls in the world through the way you give, through outreach, and through loving and caring, serving food to the homeless and needy, offering fellowship and time in another location so that a family that is homeless can have heart-to-heart conversations, not being thought of as needy, but being thought of as a fellow pilgrim in life's journey. This place is alive. Five various charities that we support, various ministries, and the liturgies we offer, three chapels a week for our kids, and this altar used, this room used so very much. It's almost, I liken it to a great buffet that's been set. And we do it every day. And Jesus bids all of us to come and dine. There's never a gun to our head. But the fare is so lavish and wonderful. We need it, whether we realize it or not. We grow. We share. We, one step in front of the other, move forward to change the world through this power of love. Through initially two-dimensional signs that alert us, point us forward so that we can find the deeper reality behind them. I hope that in this year, 2013, you're not stuck with flat living in a two-dimensional way. I hope that your journey is complex, multifaceted, passionate, challenging, engaging, loving at times, frustrating, I know. But hey, that's what life is about. That's what a real relationship is about. That's what Jesus tried to tell the Pharisees about. Let's not fold our arms. Let's open our arms and our hands and say, along with the prophets, "Here I am, Lord, send me."